change this test. Like, man, am my chances of passing gonna increase or is it gonna be worse? How do I pass this test? That's what we're gonna talk about in this video. So today, hello, welcome. Thank you for watching this video. This is Nurse Choma, founder of Choosing Nursing. Today we're talking about what are the most recent changes for the NCLEX exam as of this year, April 2021, period. So we're gonna go over that in this video, and I'm so excited to talk about this subject with you because this is something that you definitely need to be aware of so you have the best possible chances of passing your NCLEX exam. Now, if you want further help, if you go below this video, click below, I have a free ebook that you can download right away where I give you practical principles and rules to help you to pass your NCLEX exam. Go ahead and click below, it's gonna definitely help you. All right, now let's go straight into it. So what are these changes when it comes to this test? Now, one that I would encourage you to also download as well is that the NSBN, they have a bulletin, a 2021 bulletin that they recently released, which actually lists out all the changes and more that I'm gonna go over with you in this video. And it goes over into more depth as far as even the registration fees, depending on what state you're tuning in from or coming in from. It even goes over when you can take the exam again, if you fail the test, and then also what's allowed in the testing center and so much more. So I'll go ahead and make sure to link that below this video too, so you can have access to that. All right, so let's go straight into it today. One of the first things, because of COVID, because of the pandemic, you know, things have definitely changed and it's still been changing because of the pandemic. And when it comes to taking the exam, regardless of whether this was now or earlier, you still can't have any belongings with you, all right? So you cannot take any belongings with you when you're actually taking the test. Purses, wallets, phones, all that stuff has to be stored in a locker if you're gonna bring it with you, or even better, keep it in your car so it's even more safe that way. However though, you can access the items during your breaks. So the NCLEX does allow you to take break periods if it takes you that long to take your exam. So that's one of the things as well. Okay, so you cannot have any belongings with you. Now, as far as the number of questions on this exam, let's talk about that, because I know it may vary as far as that, well, have they increased the number of questions? Is it the same, is it different? So as of right now, it's still a minimum of 75 questions and then a maximum of 145 questions, okay, to take the test for both the RN exam as well as also the LPN exam. Now, however though, with both of these exams, you have just 5 hours, which is more than enough time for you to take this test. So the good news is that it's still only 75 questions and then a maximum of 145 questions, right? So it's less time. So that's a great sign, because less questions could increase your chances of passing the exam if you really are prepared. Now, one thing I want to go over that will hopefully help you to better understand is how they even determine to pass or fail you, right? When it comes to this test, like, how do you know that the exam is going to say that it's going to pass or fail you? So that way you have a better idea of what led to your results. Let's go over the three scenarios of how the exam will pass or fail you. Here's the first one, scenario number one, all right, which is called the 95% confidence interval rule, okay? So this is the most common rule that applies for majority of people that take their NCLEX exam. And pretty much what it says is that the computer will stop administering more questions when it determines, when it's 95% certain that the candidate's ability is either clearly above or clearly below the passing standard. Okay, so pretty much if 95% of the time, right, it determines that you are clearly, you know, way above the passing standard or way below it, that's how it will determine if it passes or fails you. So this is why it's so significant if you do take the test and you pass or fail with certified questions, because then that means it probably applied the 95% rule to you, because you're either clearly above it or you're clearly below the passing standard. Scenario number two, which is called the maximum length rule, all right, or the maximum length of the exam. Now, I always advise to not have to take the entire time to take your test, right? So when you're preparing for your exam, you should be really mindful of how long it takes you to answer practice questions. If it takes you longer than, I would say a minute and a half to answer most questions, you probably need to give yourself more time to look over the content. So with this one, here's what it says here. It says that some candidates' ability levels will be very close to the passing standard, right? So this is when they're trying to determine if they should pass or not. When this is the case, the computer continues to administer questions until the maximum number of items is reached. At this point, the computer will disregard the 95% rule and will consider the final ability. And the final ability is above the passing standard, right? So if the final ability estimates that's above the passing standard, then you'll pass. If the final ability estimates that you're below the passing standard, then you'll fail the test. All right. So pretty much like if you get really close to passing and it takes you the maximum number of time, then it will evaluate your overall ability if it's above the passing standard or below the passing standard. It's usually better that you don't exhaust all of your time. All right. The third one, scenario number three, and this also applies to the run out of time rule. Right? So the run out of time rule is if the candidate runs out of time before reaching the maximum number of items. So the second rule was about the maximum number of questions. All right? The maximum number of questions. And then this third rule, is about the maximum number of time. All right? So my apologies. So maximum number of questions, maximum number of time. So if with the second rule you get the maximum number of questions, it's going to evaluate overall if you are above or below the passing standard. With this rule, the run out of time rule, it says if the candidate runs out of time before reaching the maximum number of items, the computer is not be able to decide whether the candidate passes or fails with a 95% certainty. Therefore, an ultimate rule must be used. So it says here, if the candidate has not answered the maximum number of items, the result will be failing exam. Okay, and then if the candidate has answered the maximum number of items, then the exam is scored by using the final ability estimate computed for the responses to all completed items. So if the final ability estimates is above the passing standard, then you'll pass. If it estimates that's below the passing standard, then you'll fail. So if you reach the maximum number of time and the computer is not sure whether or not it should pass you without like an overwhelming amount of certainty, which is the 95% certainty, then and you have not answered the minimum number of items, then they're going to score you again based on your overall ability if you got above or below the passing standard, right? So if it estimates that you're above, then you'll pass. If it estimates that you're below, then you'll fail. Now there's even a more descriptive clarity on this before, where they're actually, if you actually run out of time, they'll evaluate how you did, not for the whole exam, but the last, the last 60 questions, I believe. That's the rule they used to apply when the test was 265 questions. So with this rule, it's going to say, okay, if you run out of the whole time, then it's going to evaluate. And if you run out of the time, like let's say you run out of time before you get to certified questions, it's going to look at overall your ability if you're on the passing or if you're on the failing standard. So these are the ways that it determines if it passes or fails you. My best bet to share with you today is to try and prioritize learning how to answer questions critically and comprehensively in the least amount of time, right? If it takes you a long time to answer questions, it's probably an indication that you still need to work on knowing the content. If it takes you, if it doesn't take you the long amount of time to answer questions, but you're still performing poorly, then you may need to work on your critical thinking and how you answer questions. Okay? So these are pretty much the most recent simplified changes when it comes to the NCLEX exam. If you feel like you want more help in this area, if you want me to personally mentor you and help you to pass your exam, whether it's the very first time to as insurance, or you're trying to take it again and you don't want to go through the humiliation of taking it again, go ahead and click below this video and we can schedule a consultation, a free strategy session, so that way I can work with you to help you pass your exam. All right, I hope that you found this helpful. If you did, go ahead and like and subscribe right now below, depending on where you're tuning in from. And I will see you in the very next video. Take care.